No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Game number 81 of the 82 games.
We're almost there, boys. Almost there.
What are you talking about, Ezzy? We're going to extend it. We're doing more. We're not going anywhere. These post game shows are just going to keep on continuing.
Hey,
all throughout the summer.
I don't want to say anything to you boys, but I was stopped in the press box tonight by a couple of people actually asking if we will be doing Moose post game shows. So there is demand potentially if we want to keep this rolling. Just an FYI.
That's a good FYI, something worth talking about off air, undoubtedly. We'll save that conversation. Ezzy, how's the basement? That's what Coffee and TV wants to know. What's the status of the basement? Do we have any mitigation plans in place in case of the rain this weekend? You know, are you going to be lying in the basement sort of as a dike in case any water starts to emerge into the basement? What is the game plan? What's the strategy?
Drew, what the hell are you talking about right now? I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, the basement's dry for now, but I mean, we're supposed to get a lot more rain, right? So hopefully I don't get any more rain. I think a lot of people around Winnipeg and surrounding areas are just hoping that, you know, they stay relatively dry. Their house stays relatively dry, I should say, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I was shop vacuuming a lot, you know, over the weekend and into Monday and Tuesday, not so much the last few days and just getting rid of the smell. But I think people want to hear more about the Jets and Flames games as opposed to, you know, my basement and wow, all the water.
Coffee, that got you gave Coffee and TV what he wanted. I'm not sure if he's going to stick around for the Jets analysis or not, but he got his Ezzy basement update. So hopefully he'll stick around for some hockey analysis as well. The Jets winning game number 81, 3-1 tonight over the Calgary Flames. And we'll get into the goals and we'll get into everything. And yes, I see from Joe from Winnipeg there, Winnipeg Ice victorious. They won their series tonight as well. So congratulations to everybody involved with the Winnipeg Ice organization. They're off to the second round of the Western Hockey League playoffs. No surprise there. Given the, you know, the disparity in talent and the disparity in the standings between Prince Albert and the Winnipeg Ice, but good for the Ice winning in five games. They've won that series. You know, I had minimal hopes in terms of expectations or entertainment value in tonight's game. Obviously, yet another game that doesn't matter to anybody. But for whatever reason, I still thought there was a bit of an edge play to tonight's game. It wasn't the prettiest game ever. You know, the Flames were just mainly trying to get out of the game unscathed. But for a game featuring two teams with nothing to play for, and the Flames really just trying to make sure they're not getting, nobody gets injured in their last regular season game of the season, I thought there was a little bit more edge in tonight's game than I really expected.
You might have been watching a different game than I was. I also wasn't watching the whole game. I'm obviously joking, Drew, but, you know, you just mentioned that, you know, none of the Flames want to get injured, you know, heading into their first round series, whether it's against Nashville or who else could they play?
Dallas.
Dallas, right? So,
yeah.
Look, I mean, the Jets, like the Blake Wheeler goal obviously gave them a ton of life late in the first period. And, you know, you expected maybe some more, you know, let's say AHL level players to be playing, but for the most part, you know, the Flames had the regular lineup and, you know, like you said, we'll get into the goals. It was a nice goal by Matthew Tkachuk, but yeah, I mean, in the third period, guys, like, that was kind of half speed from the Flames, but give the Jets credit. Like the second period was dominated by the Jets and, you know, Blake Wheeler just mentioned had a fantastic game. Nikolai Ehlers, I mean, another really strong game. Kyle Connor, you know, unfortunate. I'm not sure why he wasn't on the ice. They're late. I mean, I realize that, you know, you're trying to, you know, seal the deal, but I mean, to me, that's you've only got, you know, a game and 50 seconds left and you've got an empty net. So why isn't Kyle Connor out there? And I the answer to that is obvious, but that was kind of unfortunate that Kyle Connor, because look, he needs every single opportunity he can get, right? And he's obviously, you know, was out there on the power plays. What did they have? Four or five power plays. They didn't score any goals. But you know, Kyle Connor had some chances. I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois had a strong game. Josh Morrissey had a strong game. So, I mean, look, the Jets are finishing the season strong. These games are completely meaningless, and let's not get it twisted. I mean, you're watching these games, and the fans were certainly, you know, not that into it early on in the game. Dave was in the building, but certainly, you know, the Jets fans got a lot of life. And really, to me, that's who really wins here, is all of the people that paid money to watch tonight's game. Because I don't think a lot of Jets fans watching at home really cared about the win. Obviously, you know, a win is better than a loss. But, I mean, what really, aside from, you know, seeing some nice individual performances and seeing Kyle Connor going for 50 goals, I don't think many Jets fans really care about these last few games.
Yeah, what I meant by intensity, Dave, is that even after the whistles, there was some scrums, and I didn't think that there were going to be anything about that at all. I thought that both teams would just sort of, you know, go through the motions for the most part in tonight's game. But I guess Matthew Tkachuk going to Matthew Tkachuk, and you know and that's part of his charm, I guess. And charm is sort of said tongue in cheek, depending on your perspective as a Jets fan or as a Flames fan. But you know, he can't turn it off, and the response that people were giving him, Jets players were giving him, they can't turn it off as well. So that's just what I meant sort of by intensity, is that there was a little bit of some post-whistle interaction, and not strictly of the where are we going for beers after the game guys kind of interactions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. I didn't know what the level of apathy would be other than my own, which was pretty high. So I was there was a bit of a malaise setting in. And I didn't anticipate that they were going to start the lineup they did. I'm with Ezzy. I thought that you'd see more. I mean, against Minnesota, I understand the intent, and they remember Calgary did play last night, so that's worth noting. They were in Minnesota and went to overtime, so where they lost, but still they played last night. So I mean, that's another thing to take note of, hence the reason why they came out flying in that first period, and then obviously the Jets were able to take over in the second. But I am with you, Drew, in the sense that there were more scrums, there were more. And that's just kind of the way they're an abrasive team. And the funny part is, it's not even from guys you really expect. I mean, obviously, Tkachuk is the guy you expect it from. But, Milan Lucic is the guy you really expect it from. He really wasn't a factor, really. It wasn't him who was getting into the scrum. Mangiapane and Dubé and, guys like that were kind of interacting more and after the whistle with Appleton, with Lowry. And so, it's something you like to see, but in a meaningless game, you're not necessarily getting your blood boiling when you know Calgary is going to the playoffs and the Jets are going to the golf course.
Yeah, look, we're not going to overreact, and we're not going to say that these games ultimately mean anything or that these games are anything other than one team playing out the string and one team just getting ready for the playoffs. It's not like you're going to make any grand proclamations about next season as a result of the games you're seeing, you know, to end this year. But, you know, as he said, and I think he's right, you know, for the people who are in the building, for the people who are either getting a chance to be in the building for, maybe their first time or a rare opportunity to get into the building, you know, when tickets may not have been otherwise readily available, or for those fans who have already, you know, shelled out for these games, at least for their perspective, at least from their benefit, they're seeing some victories, because those were few and far between really during the meaty part of the schedule when that ultimately mattered. So those people, at least, are a little bit happier about that as.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, right, like that four-game road trip before these last four games here, it couldn't have gone worse, right? Like we talked about that on the post-game show and the Saturday show, right? Like that sealed the Jets' fate in terms of, you know, they didn't really have a good chance, you know, going into the road trip against Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and the Rangers. But, I mean, when you lose four games, I mean, they had absolutely no chance after that. So all you can do is finish the season strong for your fans, right? And like it's already depressing. Think of how much more depressing it would be if, you know, the Jets lost to Colorado and they lost to Calgary and they lose their last game against the Kraken, right? So, I mean, it is, you know, just as much about, you know, finishing strong for your fans as it is finishing strong for you. I mean, they don't want to lose the last eight games of the season, even though these games don't matter. I think they'd rather, you know, head into the offseason having won some games. Right now they have a really good opportunity to win their last four games of the year. And I think, you know, just watching the game, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, can see how confident Dylan Sandberg's looking after, you know, he was a healthy scratch. He had a really solid game. And look at, you can say whatever you want. And Dave's right. I mean, Calgary played yesterday and they've already got the division locked up, right? We know that. So it's not like they were playing for anything aside from winning the game. They've got it locked up. And like we said, they're going to play Nashville or Dallas in the first round. But, you know, you're watching, you know, Samberg, and I really liked, you know, what you saw from the fourth line. Like, I think a lot of Jets fans are liking what they're seeing from Morgan Barron, and you had Toninato and Harkins. I just thought they had a little bit more jump, and we've talked about it all season long. The fourth line has been a non-factor almost the whole season, right? And then you got to like, you know, again, we're going to get into the goals in a bit here, but, I mean, you got to like, you know, Lowry and Appleton kind of picking up where they left off, right? Like, they've played before together, and, you know, we could debate whether they're better suited for the third line or the fourth line, and I think, you know, it would be a fourth line role next year. You know, I you like to see, you know, the chemistry that they've had on that third line. So yeah, I mean, all in all, boys, I guess what I'm saying is, like, you know, this win, even though, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's bittersweet in the sense that it doesn't really advance you in the standings or mean anything, I think, you know, the fact that you saw Wheeler giving his all. Wheeler was arguably the Jets' best forward tonight, and he was hustling, and I mean, why wouldn't he? He has to lead by example, but I think you also kind of like what you saw deeper into the lineup, like we talked about, the fourth line guys, you know, providing some energy, you know, Samberg having another solid game. I think nobody has any doubt that, you know, he's going to be a top six guy, you know, all things considered for the Jets next year.
I would agree with that comment. Let's get into the game recap brought to you by our friends at Betway. Betway is one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly.
I think Dave's trying to get in here, Drew.
Sorry, go ahead, David. Yes. Are you giving us the update about the Moose and their playoff schedule?
I am. I'm about to give you the breaking news. The Moose will be playing the Milwaukee Admirals in the first round of the semifinals, as they're calling it, because the first round is a play-in round. But the Moose will be playing the Milwaukee Admirals. Milwaukee and Rockford played a game tonight, and Milwaukee held on for the win. So as a result, the Milwaukee Admirals and the Manitoba Moose, which is a much better matchup. Milwaukee right now doesn't have Connor Ingram. He's up with the Predators. They've got Cody Glass, I think, is up with the Predators. We'll talk more, but I just wanted to let people know now. We'll talk with the Jets, maybe some Moose in the latter half of the show.
Yes, and of course, tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m., we're going to be joined by Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster. So we'll have a comprehensive preview of the Moose and the Admirals in their playoff series with the voice of the Moose. You know, Dave is the fill-in voice of the Moose. Daniel Fink is the actual voice of the Moose. So you can, he's going to join us tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. The show starts at 9, and our friend Sarah Orleski going to join us as well at 9:30 tomorrow morning. So you can schedule tomorrow morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show in your calendar. And then another special note, Monday, a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll do a Monday night show starting at 8 o'clock p.m. after garbage bag day, after locker room cleanout day for the Winnipeg Jets. And we'll be joined by Dennis Bayak on Monday to talk about his illustrious career and the season that was for the Winnipeg Jets. So make sure you make note of that, a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Monday night. So that means you're getting us on Friday tonight. You're getting us on Saturday. You're getting us Sunday for game 82 post game between the Jets and the Kraken. And then you're getting us again on Monday. So certainly your fill of Illegal Curve coming up this week.
What's happening next Tuesday?
Hopefully I'm not spending any time with you. I mean, that would be my ultimate goal. I really don't have any plans for next Tuesday. I'm not sure.
Binge watching Ozark season 4 part 2, right?
Probably going to get into that again. Yeah, we have to finish up.
And you'll be binge eating too, Drew.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, when I would like to binge watch, I like to binge eat. It works both ways. Have to finish Winning Time as well. You know, that we got a couple episodes to go on that one. So, you know,
all what's that about?
Winning Time is about the 1980s LA Lakers, the start of the dynasty of the Los Angeles Lakers. It's an HBO show.
My boy Magic.
Magic Johnson is the actor playing Magic Johnson. It's got a great cast. Very well done. Highly recommended. Stay tuned for more of Drew's television analysis coming up as the season comes to an end. Matthew Tkachuk opened the scoring for the Calgary Flames at the 3:19 mark of the first period, his 42nd of the year. You sort of forget a little bit about just how damn good of a player Matthew Tkachuk is because of all the other stuff. And that's
He's going to get paid big time.
He's going to get paid big time is right. And he's going to make a very high amount of money after this
10
season.
Mil or is 10 mil too high?
I think 10's probably a little on the high side. I think you're looking at 9.5 though. I think, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it gets to 10, but it's going to be, it's going to be a big number. There's no question about that.
If you think about it, Drew, what he does, I mean, it's very similar to what his dad does. And the thing is, Brady had a goal and an assist today for the Senators. He finished with, I think 67 points, something like that. Right. Which is kind of funny because Ottawa 67s. But you know, he had a career year. And like, these guys are unbelievable. But Matthew Tkachuk, like, he can like obviously score goals, 42 goals on the year. He's a fantastic playmaker, but he's a guy that can provide that physicality, even drop the mitts. Like, he can basically do everything. So he's going to, yeah, whether it's 9 million, 9.5 million, 10, whatever it is, it's way more money than I'm ever going to see in my life.
No question about that. So that made it 1-0 for the Flames. It was a great individual effort. It's a breakaway opportunity, and he's just sort of able to shake off Adam Lowry, Dave. And I mean, it's not easy to shake off Adam Lowry. You thought maybe watching that Adam Lowry was going to come back and be able to break up the play, but Matthew Tkachuk sticks with it and is just sort of a little, I don't want to say he's stronger on the puck than Adam Lowry, but he's just able to muscle it through Connor Hellebuyck, even with the back check of Lowry.
Yeah, and Lowry was playing catch up. I mean, you know, it was unfortunate the way the shot was blocked by Tkachuk. Brendan Dillon obviously tried to get it through. He doesn't. And, you know, Tkachuk is a pretty good scorer. He can get that puck in the back of the net. And so Connor Hellebuyck got it. He got a piece of it, but it just managed to slide in. So not an ideal start, but you kind of expected that Calgary would, because, like I said, because they played last night, you expected them to come out, and that's the way they did, right? I mean, at one point the shots were, I want to say 11-2 in favor of Calgary, and it really was looking like, okay, these guys are and look, they brought their boys, and they weren't resting their guys other than obviously not playing Markstrom in that. So you did have a pretty good team, but they played last night, so
I was going to say they got more than half of their shots in the entirety of the game in the first period, 18 shots in the first period, only 33 in total for the rest of the game. So, well, I mean,
Dave's point, like, you can't tell me that, you know, as that game went on, Dave, you got deeper into the second period and the third period, these guys aren't thinking, like, I don't think any of these guys are thinking, don't get injured. I don't think these guys are saying that, but they're also, having said that, they're also probably taking it a little foot off the gas kind of thing there, you know, going 75%, 50% of what they normally do, right? So I think we all saw that, especially in the third period. You saw a few instances, Dave, where the Flames weren't going full tilt.
Certainly, I would certainly agree with that, Ezzy. I mean, you saw it that you just, as you said, they sort of took their foot off the gas a little bit. I honestly, when it was 2-1 for the Jets, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I was wondering if even Sutter's going to pull the goalie, if they were even going to really try and equalize, because, you know, they don't need that extra 5 minutes of overtime. That's not helping them. There's no benefit for them to do that. I was wondering if he was just going to say, screw it, we'll do it 5-on-5, and see what happens.
Yeah, you know what I was wondering too, Drew? Like, you could take a game in which Calgary is up, like, I'm talking about any game this season, you could take a game where Calgary's up 6-0 or 5-1, and then take a game where they're down 2-1 or 3-1, and Daryl Sutter has the exact same disposition and look on his face on the bench, right? He's just always kind of not unhappy, but he's always just kind of unimpressed, is what I would say.
Yes, curmudgeonly is also a good word for it, I think, in that instance as well. The Jets do tie it up just before the end of the first period, and boy, was this a beauty when Blake Wheeler gets his 16th of the year, assist to Nikolai Ehlers and Paul Stastny. And if you like nice passing plays, and you like vision, and you like eyes in the back of your head, well, that goal had everything for the Winnipeg Jets. It was just, you know, started with a nice rush, and Nikolai Ehlers with just a dandy pass to Blake Wheeler, who made no mistake in getting it past the Flames goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, Nikolai Ehlers was dangerous all night long, and he looked it, and it was a beautiful pass. It was a beautiful play. I mean, he was threading, he was weaving, he was bobbing. He drew the penalty to make it a 5-on-3 for the Jets. They didn't do anything with it, of course, but I thought he was absolutely the Jets, you know, most dangerous player tonight, and creating for his teammates, which is what he does, right? And that's just one of the joys of Nikolai Ehlers. How many no-look passes did he make? And they were perfect. Like he made a couple of really nifty ones today. And that was another example of just looking off the goalie. Goalie has to respect his shot because it's so good. And he puts it right on Blake Wheeler's tape. I mean, Blake Wheeler's not going to miss that one. So, I mean, look, the line, the Stastny, Ehlers and Wheeler line has looked good together as a trio. And I just think like Nikolai Ehlers is just continuing to show you, you know, the season and what happened with the Jets is what it is, but there's no ignoring the fact that missing Nikolai Ehlers for 19 games in that heart of the season was a huge blow to this team. And as important as Kyle Connor has been and his season has been, I think it's just a testament to what Nikolai Ehlers brings to this team that you saw what this team was not able to do without him in the lineup.
Yeah, so don't worry, though. Dmitry Orlov was suspended for, I think, 2 games as a result of that hit. So it all balanced out in the end.
Exactly.
1-1 after 20 minutes tonight. The Jets get what turns out to be the game-winning goal. This comes at the 6:06 mark of the second period. Mason Appleton gets his 8th of the year. Josh Morrissey and Zach Sanford with the assist. And, you know, go to the dirty areas, go hard to the net, and good things are going to happen. And this is another example of it. Not sure why it's taken so long for this to sort of set into the brains of the Jets this season so often. But finally, at least they seem to be getting the hang of that sort of thing. And this is a good example of those good things that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about the third line, or I talked about the third line a little bit. Zach Sanford's the guy that I didn't mention there. And we asked Weber that on Saturday morning show, like whether or not he thought there could be a fit with Sanford next year, whether that's third line, fourth line, whatever. We know it's going to be kind of a bottom six role, right? Or middle six, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Drew. I mean, you know, Josh Morrissey, we know that, you know, he's had a breakout offensive season and he's shown way more confidence, or the same amount of confidence that he's had with the puck in previous years. And that's just a juicy rebound that Vladar, you know, gives up to Mason Appleton. But I thought, you know, Appleton, look, I mean, you know, he's only scored a couple of goals since he came over from the Kraken, you know, mm-hmm. at the trade deadline. And, you know, so you're not expecting, you know, you weren't expecting him to score 10 goals or anything like that. But I think, you know, he's just a guy that, you know, will do those cliche things like go to the net and you know, give you 100%. And I think, you know, in the second and third period, especially, you actually saw, you know, a good cycle from those types of lines. They're using their physicality. I mentioned Lowry. You guys know what Lowry's faceoff percentage, winning percentage was tonight? 75%. Yeah, like he was really good tonight. And, you know, like he's one of those players where, you know, you could always point to the fact that, you know, Dennis even mentioned this on the broadcast tonight that, you know, he's happy with his goal totals, but he wasn't happy with his assist totals. Well, I mean, for the most part, you're not expecting much more than, you know, 25 or 30 points out of Lowry, right? Like if he, you know, put together a 15 goal, 25 assist season or something like that, I mean, that would be a little bit surprising. Like you want him to be killing penalties. Like we've seen him have those breakaway chances and breakaway goals shorthanded, right? So I just really liked Lowry's effort on that goal. But yeah, I just like the simple, you know, Appleton going to the net and getting one of those greasy goals, because a guy like that, that's how he's going to score the majority of the goals. Like Appleton's a guy that, you know, has some outside speed and he can cut in and he's got some nice hands. But for the most part, those are the types of goals he's going to score at this point in his career.
Yeah, exactly right. And then the Jets finished off the scoring, Dave. Brendan Dillon into the empty net at the 19:40 mark of the third period, you know, to make it 3-1. And that was, of course, the final score. We'd be remiss, though, Dave, to not talk about the litany of opportunities that Kyle Connor had in the course of this game to get closer to number 50 on the season. He's probably going, I mean, he missed a wide open net that he doesn't miss. I think he caught a crossbar. He just had another, you know, there was the play in the, I think it was the third period where he sort of did some fancy footwork at the top of the blue line to get a scoring opportunity. He had so many chances that it was, you almost were thinking, is he snake bit? You know, that he wasn't able to actually get one past and into the net to get closer to number 50.
Yeah, I mean, there was the one where the puck rolled over Vladar's back and then Hanifin knocked it out away because it was going in the net. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. There's no question about it. He looked like he had 47 and 48, maybe even 49 tonight. He could have been, you know, one goal away from 50 on Sunday. But, I mean, he had chances. He had a lot. I think he finished with five shots in the game, six shots in the game. So, yeah, no, Kyle Connor definitely was feeling it. He was all over the ice too. I thought, like I said, I thought Ehlers was the best player on the ice, but I thought Kyle Connor was, he acquitted himself well. He just wasn't able to have the finish that we've seen with him. But you know, when the guy has 46 goals and 46 assists, you're not critiquing him too hard when goals don't go in easily for him. So yeah, I mean, he had a good game. And overall, like I said, the Jets for the most part had a good game, and it just, the building isn't juiced, right? Like the building just doesn't, I mean, it was fan appreciation game. They were giving stuff away. Folks were winning. You know, even if it was a contest, if you didn't win, you still won. They're giving away, when I walked through the doors, they were giving away like mini Kyle Connor bobbleheads. So, I mean, like they tried to create a festive atmosphere, but I just think like,
I also think to what I was saying before, I don't think it's your usual fan base there, you know, for these games, last few games. I think a lot of people who have been to a lot of the games this season may have given away their tickets.
I was just going to say, Drew, I think there's some, yeah, a lot of giveaways for tonight's game.
Yeah, which adds to a little bit of the atmosphere, because, you know, if you haven't been to a game this year, or if you've never been to a game before and you get an opportunity to go to that game, you're just on cloud nine to be there. Mm-hmm. And you sort of, you know, by virtue of just, you know, being at so many games, you sort of lose track of that, and you lose track of the perspective that it can be a really big night for somebody who's in attendance at their only game of the year, or their only game that since the Jets have been back, or, you know, so you do sort of lose perspective, and it's nice to get a reminder about that every now and then. And hopefully there's some people in the crowd. And I think I saw a sign on the broadcast. Somebody was there from Brazil maybe, and it was their first game, just things like that, that can really sort of, you know, add a little bit of color to what is undoubtedly a very dull night potentially otherwise.
I was wondering why the soccer ball was flying around the stands. That explains that.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I was going to add was that, and then on Sunday, they're doing the jersey off the back, which to my recollection, I don't think they've done since like the 16-17 season. It's been at least a few years since they've done that. I always thought it was a really good promo. I never understood why they got rid of it. I know the Thrashers used to do that, and I actually like it. I like, you bring the fans onto the, you know, you randomly select 23 guys, or, you know, people, I should say, because obviously women and men and kids can win. Obviously, it's who's ever in the building, and they pick them, and they get to go on the ice, and they get the jersey, and they get to meet the players. So I think it's a really cool thing that they got rid of. I never understood why they got rid of it. I think if I recall correctly, they got rid of it because they were going to the playoffs or something, and it felt like it was the season was over sort of thing. But to me, it's a regular season ending. Doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the playoffs. And I always thought it was something they should have continued. So they brought that back. They'll have some stuff. And obviously it's going to be a big tribute to Dennis on Sunday.
Yes. And that'll be very, very interesting and well-deserved for Mr. Bayak. And like I said, he's joining us on Monday's special edition of the show. So you can mark
that. Someone had a good idea, Drew. Someone told me that we need to clip some Dennis calls and put it together before we introduce Dennis. We'll have to have some calls clipped of some of the Dennis Bayak special. And although Dennis was trying to bail out a little bit, he was texting me and he's like, I might have a dinner that night. I said, Dennis, we'll do it from wherever you're having dinner. We're happy to join you.
We will go dinner. To his dinner.
Yeah. I told him that. I said, or I just told him I would dump you two and I would go with him.
Let's just leave Dennis alone. I mean, we've put him through enough over the years.
Well, one, it's funny time, actually, because I will say, like, I went back into the archives and I listened to when Dennis credited a legal curve for coming up with the GST, because I was working behind the scenes talking to the print media guys. I'm like,
well, you're going way back, Dave. Yeah. Was that the first season?
Yeah, it was the first season. And wow. It was right after you had said, you know, on Twitter.
That's when Drew still had hair.
That Drew had like an afro, for God's sakes. And so the point is that, and I listened to, I went back and I read the article that we had on GST on illegalcurve.com.
Did you pick up on that there, Ginsburg?
But it was great because we have a little blurb and it's Dennis on the broadcast going, courtesy of the Illegal Curve, gentlemen, the GST.
That was the last time. Good times.
Do you guys remember too? Glass, Slater, and Thorburn, Rick Mercer did a feature on them. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Well, my favorite, actually, when you go back and you read the article, is just, it just goes to show you. I remember talking to them, and Tanner Glass, who was a bit of a different sort of guy, he was kind of like, man, whatever. He didn't really care. Slater, he was into it. He liked it. And Thorburn was like, he warmed up. He liked it right away, and then he loved it. And he was super into that idea. And then, like I said, then our boy Eddie Tate, Winnipeg Free Press, he had it right in the top headline, GST, courtesy of Illegal Curve. And then the best was, then you saw it like in advertising, like car dealerships were advertising.
They had GST shirts, didn't they? Yeah, I'm sure the GST Jets, shirts.
Yeah. Jets produced T-shirts. It was
still
it was,
waiting was, for my royalty, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That is true. Anyway, so
keep waiting there.
I'll talk to Mark about that.
There. I think it'll be a while.
And then he'll call the police.
Yeah, let's hope that we get the GST call from Dennis in our video package, Drew. So
there you go.
So on that first.
That sounds like something
you've got some homework tonight.
Yeah, there you go, Dave. It sounds like you're volunteering to work on that, Dave. Very honorable of you. Mm-hmm. That has been the Betway game recap, brought to you, of course, by our friends at Betway. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll talk about the interview that with Chaz Lucius from earlier today. We might talk briefly about Mark Chipman's interview in the second period with Sarah Orleski, although that seems like more of a meatier topic for tomorrow morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Much more to come. We got a Tough Duck toque to give away. We only got a couple more of those to go.
We should probably be giving away like a poncho or a rain jacket. But
well, maybe our friends at Tough Duck have a poncho they can give away instead. My point is, don't go anywhere. More of the post-game show coming up. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled GRYD Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow. So they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Oh, yes, there's more. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Friday night. Congratulations, Dan, Jets fan. Glad that you got your Tough Duck toque. We have, of course, another toque.
That a boy, Dan.
The course of the next.
Wear it with pride, baby.
Wear it with pride, indeed. Another Tough Duck toque to give away in the next few minutes here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Sarcastic Daryl Sutter, shocking turn of events. Here's the quote, courtesy of our buddy Darren Bauman.
I can't wait for this.
Twitter, quote, this is Daryl Sutter after finishing the regular season tonight. Hopefully we get a playoff schedule where we don't have to play Monday. Bullshit. They set the schedule. We play 3-4 to finish the year on the road. Makes sense. I mean, I'm not sure what Daryl Sutter's that upset about. It's pretty standard that you would do 3-4. I mean, I guess I understand this is him lobbying to not play on Monday, but I mean, it doesn't really strike me as anything outrageous that they had to play 3 games in 4 nights on the road. That's usually how it works on road trips in the NHL. But in any event, they can sort of hear the caustic way that he uttered those comments, Dave Emmon, and it made me smile a little bit.
This is where I speak. I know that, Drew, but the problem is I was also trying to tweet so people would come to the show, join the conversation, if you will.
One more second, so, by the way, there, Dave, and I was going to jump in because what? Drew threw it to you, and I was waiting for you to talk. But here's, if you were still, suggestion. I can see that you're muted.
Here's a suggestion, Dave. And I know this is a game 81, so it's a radical suggestion. Because I appreciate you wanting to send that tweet and sort of drive some additional traffic here to the post game. But maybe.
Drew, what are you doing there? Are you, I'm not sure if you're dovening or you like, what's going on?
I'm driving the traffic. I'm driving the traffic is what I'm doing.
I thought you might be in a kayak. I don't know.
They were giving away a kayak today.
What I was going to say before I was rudely interrupted is, Dave, you should send that tweet before or maybe not even and as you scurry away from your camera as soon as we go to break so you can run downstairs and converse with Ezzy. Maybe send that tweet, then go converse with Ezzy during the commercial break so you can actually come back and contribute to the show properly when I throw it to you for an analysis on Daryl Sutter's sarcasm.
Well, first of all, you usually generally don't throw it to me right after we come back. That's more of an Ezzy thing. So that would be why I was a little caught off guard.
Ezzy's got work to do. Ezzy's got to find.
I should have realized you're doing a Tough Duck.
He's got to find the Tough Duck winner.
Plus, to be honest with you, this is also Ezzy's.
I'm also finding Dennis audio clips.
This is also a Ezzy area because, as everyone knows, Ezzy, when we used to go down to the dressing rooms, would always go to the away room, and I would always go to the home dressing room. So Ezzy is more of an expert, if you will, of knowing what the opposing coach, like when John Tortorella kind of gave Ezzy the old, what's that? So Ezzy is more of an expert in that realm than I am. But
I miss sports.
I'm going to ask you this question. Hopefully you're prepared for it. You were on the call earlier today with Chaz Lucius.
2021 course, first rounder.
Just signed with the Winnipeg Jets organization. DLC. What were your thoughts about the interview and the call and sort of what Chaz had to say about the season that was for him and then where he's going to move forward as a member of the Jets organization?
So it was interesting on a couple of notes. I mean, one, he advised that he had had, like, when remember when we talked about where he was going to go. And some people were speculating he'll go down to the Moose. And I had said, it's unusual that they didn't announce that he was signing an ATO with Manitoba for the rest of the season. Because of course his ELC doesn't kick until next year. So I thought that was unusual because with Wyatt Bongiovanni, for example, that's one of the things that was tied into his contract was that he was signing an ATO. It's very common. Daniel Torgeson and Henry Nikkanen, same thing, right? It's, you know, attached to their ELCs was the fact that they're doing having ATOs. So I thought that was unusual in the sense that they didn't put it in there. And then we found out today from Chaz Lucius why that was. And that's because he had ankle surgery. And that's the reason why I guess he missed or he wasn't able to play because he didn't play in the finals for Minnesota or in the NCAA tournament, I should say. And so he had to have ankle surgery. He's currently recovering from that. He's not on the ice yet. He's working his way to getting back onto the ice. When he does get back on the ice, he will be spending some time this summer in Toronto at Gary Roberts' school of hockey, if you will.
Better him than Adam Oates, based on how the Jets organization would be feeling.
I would imagine that, it's funny. I think one of the responses back to me was, does he teach defense? But anyways, I think so. So Chaz Lucius is going to go to Toronto. He's going to spend some time there. He did say he'd be curious. He'd be interested in playing for Team USA at the World Juniors, obviously, if that works with the schedule. So you might see a Lucius versus Perfetti battle. We'll see, because of course the World Juniors ended up with all.
I finished your thought. I was going to ask about Perfetti there.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the point is, so that was one of the other things that he spoke about, and he didn't go into what his plans were next year. I mean, one of the interesting things that Cap Geek revealed yesterday, I think, was the junior salary built into the first year of his ELC. So there was, usually you don't see that, at least it's usually not revealed as far as I can remember. I don't remember ever seeing that. But Cap Geek had that piece of information, and I thought that was Cap Geek or Cap Friendly. Why am I getting it confused right now? But the point is that he didn't say. So that his rights are controlled by Portland, so he could play in Portland. There's word that his brother Cruz, who's supposed to be a commit in Minnesota, maybe he doesn't go there. Who knows where he goes? Then I've heard the speculation that maybe he gets traded closer to Winnipeg. Oh, I don't know, the Winnipeg Ice. Of course, there's a lot that needs to happen for that to actually go through. But the fact is that he could play in the AHL. He could with the Moose, which would make the most sense. He's not going to go into the NHL. We've lost Ezzie. And then,
I think it looked like a light fell over behind him. He was looking for something and he couldn't find it. And then a light fell over. Yeah, basically your house might be on fire is what I think might have happened.
Okay. Well, so the fire behind me might be a literal fire. Anyways, point is that, he may be doing, so we don't know where he's going to be. He could be in the WHL. He could be in the AHL. He could be up with the Jets. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. And then the other thing he talked about was playing center or playing wing. He's natural center. That's where he's played most of his life. He was in Minnesota playing on the wing for quite a bit this season. He said he felt comfortable after three games. So we'll see what happens with him, but he's an interesting prospect. Had a few injuries that, you know, I've held him up a little bit, unfortunately for him, but still ended up with, I think, 9 goals, 10 assists in 24 games, maybe for Minnesota. So, interesting, unexpected. I mean, like I said, other than the little birdies kind of giving an indication that maybe there was something there, it's not often you see a kid from Minnesota leaving the school, changing call his plan, if you will. Because these guys see it as such an honor to play for their college, you know, especially a program like Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. It was certainly unusual, but good to hear it from the horse's mouth earlier today, which is what we heard from Chaz Lucius. Oh, hang on. Is Ginsburg back?
Yes.
So what happened there? I looked like a light fell over and you were damaging Dave's wall. I'm like, what happened? Right. Like that you were looking.
I see he's losing our damage deposit. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hang
on. Let me predict. You didn't have your computer plugged in, so you were looking to find your charger and plug it in. And in the course of looking for your charger, because you didn't know where it was, you accidentally knocked over a lamp, and that's why you had to bail out of the broadcast for a brief minute.
Drew, I feel like you're like sitting here right beside me, and you just watched that whole thing, because that's literally what just happened. My computer was at like 32%. And when you were out of town, we had a little incident where My laptop got down to 20% and shut down. So I thought, okay. So I'm fumbling around, realized that my power cord was in my bag there. And then in the course of doing that, I got tangled up with all the cords that I have here. And yeah, I knocked over the lamp. And so I just decided to leave the studio and sign back in. So yes, what you said is 100% what happened. But I'm back here, so let's do this.
Well, the most important question is, do you have a Tough Duck winner yet? Are you still looking for that?
Yeah, no, hold on. Just give me a few minutes here and I'll get it.
It's amazing we've gone 81 games. This is quite the professional operation we have here with Mr. Manuk.
Hey, you know what that means, Drew?
It's time for a Manuk Moose Minute. Let me get the...
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, I mean, I don't want to steal Ezzy's Tough Duck Thunder, but I'm going to go quick because, of course, we've already been 45 minutes into the show. The Moose are already focusing on the playoffs. They're, as I said earlier in the show, they'll be facing the Milwaukee Admirals, who, to my mind, despite what's happening with them losing players, I think that was the better matchup. The Moose, I think, have 7 wins in their 12 this season, and I think one either an OT or shootout loss, I think. I can't remember what it was. But anyways, they've definitely match up very well. Last night, for example, they lost to Texas, kind of an anemic game. We saw some guys getting back. Some guys are dealing with bumps and bruises. So the Moose are allowing those guys to heal up, getting some maintenance for some of their players. Christian Reichel won't be playing in the season finale, which is tomorrow. I'm reliably informed that I think it'll be close to a sellout. There's going to be over 7,000 tomorrow for the game. So that's pretty exciting. Should be a great atmosphere for the final game of the season, or the regular season, I should say. But yesterday, the Abbotsford Canucks, who have, you know, done very well against Manitoba, coming into the game 9-1-0 in their last 10 games. Moose have been meandering along a little bit as they, like I said, get some new guys into the lineup. But yesterday was anything but normal, and the Moose rolled. They scored 3 goals in the first period, just dominated. It wasn't even close, to be honest with you. Like it was unusual, but they just kept rolling. And then I think they outshot him 20-6 in the first. And then the Birdman was the Birdman. And remarkably, there were 8 goals scored in the I jokingly tweeted this little conundrum. I said there were 8 goals scored in the game. It was a 7-1 game, and yet the Moose were responsible for putting all 8 goals into the back of the net. But the Birdman, even though, like, and the Birdman gets bored. That's the one problem with Mikael Burden. When he gets bored, he gets antsy, he starts to fidget, and then that's when hell can break loose. The odd part about it, though, was that
oddly like Ezzy now that you mention it.
Well, there's a reason why we call him the Junior Birdman. So the point is that, but it was weird because it was a weird time, because even though the Moose had dominated 20-6 in the shots in the first, Abbotsford came out on fire in the second, and it was actually a 7-0 edge for the visitors. And yet, so Burden was getting a lot of action. However, he got a little bored, took the puck, tried to make made the wrong decision, held on to it for just a little too long.
He was at the hash marks.
Well, that's, to be honest, I don't think they have a problem with that. It's more just, it was the decision he made with the puck. He had a defenseman behind him. He could have played it along the wall, and he just tried to go up the middle. Anyways, intercepted. He ends up putting it into his own net, which was just ridiculous, kind of ironic. And, but the Moose held, and that was one of the things with this team. Like, they could have folded quickly, but instead they held up and scored 3 more goals that period. So they took a 6-1 lead into the third period. And they obviously, CJ Cease must have known that the fans wanted pancakes because they only needed 1 goal. CJ Cease provided that. That was his 14th goal of the season. He's set a new career mark. He's been very good. He has 10 points his last 9 games or something like that. 6 of those are goals. So he's been very good for the Moose. He's been feeling it. I talked to him. It just seems to all be coming together for him, which is a good thing because the Moose are going to need him. And like I said, they're playing without a number of their guys. Christian Vesalainen wasn't playing. David Gustafson wasn't playing. Christian Reichel wasn't playing. Obviously, Morgan Barron and Dylan Sandberg, 2 guys who they're up with the Jets. They'll be playing with the Moose. So the Moose were missing a bunch of guys, and they came out in the third, kind of got chippy, kind of got a little bit agitated. Ville Heinola, he had 8 shots in the game in the first 40 minutes. And then he got a blindside hit late in the game.
That was scary.
Yeah, it was Noah Juulsen. It was unnecessary. And so he was the one, I guess.
Was there any discipline there, Dave, by the way, for Juulsen?
I mean, there was a penalty. The only positive I think from it was the fact that the entire Moose team like jumped Toulson, and I think like, you know, it just shows the way these guys care about each other. They see, you know, Villanueva go down, and the truth is, you know, Thomas Caron did it the game before in Texas when Christian Michael, which I actually thought wasn't an egregious hit. It was close. It was on the border, but I mean, it wasn't terrible. But you see the way these guys come to each other's defense. So I think that's the whole stick-to-itiveness of this team. One of the things that they did, they ran the ELC line, the entry-level line. That was kind of fun. They had Bon Giovanni with Torgerson and Nikkanen. Torgerson scored his second goal in three games. Nikkanen, net front presence, that's what these guys do. So I talked to Marty Johnston, the assistant coach for the Moose, after the game, and he talked about how, you know, these two guys learning how to play in the AHL, they're big bodies, not afraid to go to the front of the net. So they may not play right away in the playoffs, but if the Moose are able to go deep, expect to see Torgerson and Nikkanen and maybe even Bon Giovanni later on for this Manitoba club.
There you go. There's the Minook Moose Minute. We remind you, tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, our good friend Daniel Fink, the voice of the Manitoba Moose, is going to join us to preview.
We have to have Daniel on. I mean, there's too much to talk about with this Moose team. As Dave mentioned about half an hour ago, now we know the opponent. We know when all the games are. We knew when the home games were because that was announced earlier today, I believe, right, Dave, by the Moose, or it was yesterday?
No, the away games. They knew the away games.
The away games, right. Yeah. So, I mean,
because the AHL is weird. And the AHL is weird because in the first round, the higher seed gets the choice of where they want to start.
That's
right. A five-game series. And usually the away they always start away because the first two games are back-to-back. You generally kind of think, well, it's probably going to be a split. You know, you're obviously hoping to win both, but you kind of think of it as a split, and then you get to go home and you have to win two or three. So my guess is that, I think most of the teams did that. I don't think Chicago's had to yet because, of course, they're waiting to see their opponent, but I suspect they all kind of figure this stuff out in advance.
There you go. Dave M giving all the Moose insight. And as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, Daniel Fink going to join us tomorrow morning at 10:30 in the morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show to talk more about the Moose and preview their first round playoff matchup against the Milwaukee Admirals, the farm team of the Nashville Predators. Also on tomorrow's show, Sarah Orleski at the bottom of the first hour, and we'll have tons of Jets content all throughout. And of course, we'll preview some of the Stanley Cup playoff matchups as well. As we know, all the first round matchups are set with only one game left on the 2021-22 regular season schedule. That being
that's actually not true. Vancouver has four more games left from last season that they're going to play, so they just actually added those. So
yeah. There you go. Yes, I forgot about those, but yes, except for the barn burner on Sunday afternoon between the Jets and the Kraken. And there will be a post-game show on Sunday because we've gone 81 games, so you better damn believe we're going to go the full 82. So
boys, should we put a little, you know, Betway bet down right now if Connor's going to score four goals in that game? Because if there's any team that you're going to score four goals against, the Kraken or one of those teams, even though Montreal put up 10 goals on Florida. I know
they're regular 10 on the Panthers today.
What about the Ebert situation?
Yeah, there's an emergency backup goal situation in Anaheim where the E-Bug is in net. I guess, is that game still going on or is it over
Scott now? Scott Foster?
No, it's not Scott Foster. It's some guy who
played, by the way, Texas high school hockey, I think, was the last thing he played.
He played one game in the ECHL. Like,
hold on, Drew. Is he in net or is he just on the bench?
Oh, he's in net, is he?
In net.
Oh, he's in net. So we have an active E-Bug. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's an active E-Bug situation.
Dallas ended up winning the game 4-2, which means
I hope they won that game with the E-Bug in net.
But yeah, it was the most random E-Bug also. It's not even a guy who's, you know, played, you know, a high level hockey or university hockey or anything like that. He last played high school hockey in Texas. And with all due respect to Texas high school hockey, I don't know how, how great the quality would be, but this is he got in and played a game. So weird.
Drew, do you remember what Hall of Fame defenseman hailed from Texas?
What Hall of Fame defense?
I'll give you a hint. He was on an American team.
Okay.
And what number did he wear?
When did he make
He hasn't played in the NHL for like 15, 20 years.
I do not know. You stumped
me. Alien from Corpus Christi, Texas, Brian Leach.
Ah, there you go. I was not going to guess that.
Ryan Leach seems more of a Connecticut kind of guy.
Well, you know, because you tie him in with the Rangers so much. The backup goaltender's name, I got to, if we're going to talk about it, we might as well name him. Thomas Hodges entered the game after both John Gibson and Anthony Stolarz left the game with injuries.
So
Thomas Hodges entered the game at the start of the third period and made two saves on three shots. Somehow the Stars only got three shots in the entirety of the third period. Maybe they took pity on the poor E-Bug. I'm not sure.
I would imagine, Drew, that's your whole idea of the team starts to tighten up to make sure that the guy doesn't get embarrassed.
That's right. Something to do with that.
I'll never forget, guys. Sorry, I know we'll get to the tough duck comment here, but I'll never forget. I don't think anybody will ever forget Scott Foster coming in because he actually made like eight or nine saves.
David Ayers was way funnier.
Well, Ayers was different, but yeah. I mean, didn't involve the Jets, but that was incredible.
Scott Foster was funny, but the Jets had just clinched a playoff spot the game before, and it might have even been the night before, the second half.
I think the score was like 4-1 Chicago or something like that.
Yeah. When David Ayers entered the game, were the Leafs? It was either tied or the Leafs were winning, and they managed to not get anything past.
The Leafs were losing, if I recall correctly, because the Leafs scored, I think, on their first two shots to end. I never watch Leafs games, but I happened to be watching that game.
Saturday night. It was a broadcast.
And I just remember thinking, oh boy, this is interesting. If I recall correctly, they scored two goals before the end of the second period to either tie the game, or they were down by one or ahead by one. I think they were down by one. No, they were down or tied. And then Carolina scored early in the third and then held on like crazy to win that game. If my memory served me correctly. But that was entertaining, let me tell you.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. David Ayers, credit to him.
Yeah.
He got some mileage out of that.
He's still getting mileage out of
it. That's what I mean. Like, he got great mileage out of it. Isn't he like
going to be the starting goalie for Carolina in the first round?
I think it was close, but Antti Raanta wasn't as injured as he looked briefly there. Okay, as the tough duck hardest hitting comment, we got to go because we got to be back on air in less than 12 hours.
Okay, hold on. Before I announce our tough duck hardest hitting comment.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Had to take a sip of Ezzy's water bottle, if you know where I'm going with this. We're going to give tonight's tough duck hardest hitting comment to Kenny's water bottle. I don't know if Kenny's water bottle has been in every single post-game show this year, but he's been, if he hasn't been in all 81 games, he's probably been in like, 75 or 77 of those games. So Kenny's water bottle.
It's like a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, that wasn't the comment because I got kicked out of the studio here. I had another Winnipeg Jets related comment, but it's all good. We're giving it to Kenny's water bottle. He won the bagels from Bagelsmith earlier in the year. I mean, Kenny's water bottle, you're a beauty. You're always bringing it. You always have hilarious comments in the chat. We appreciate it. Just like we appreciate everybody joining us because, let's be honest, the last, three or four games have been pretty tough knowing that the Jets were out of it. But, just like Winnipeggers and Manitobans in general, I think Jets fans are optimistic and they know that this thing can be turned around. So Kenny's water bottle, send me an email, in case people were wondering, that is his real name. That's not just a screen name. He's changed it legally to Kenny's water bottle. So send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and send me your mailing address. And then Tough Duck will ship out a toque for you. It might get a little bit wet if you wear it this weekend, but still, you can use it.
Congratulations to Kenny's water bottle. Yes, a loyal chatter here with us throughout the course of all these post-game shows. Big thank you to Tough Duck for their sponsorship of that quality giveaway. Big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, who make the Saturday show, and they make the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zapia Group Realty, Betway, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. One more time, let's run down the schedule over the next couple days because it's going to be a busy one. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on this fine YouTube channel. It's going to be chock filled with Winnipeg Jets discussions. We'll talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois. We'll talk about fatigue in the organization, as our friend Elliot Friedman talked about on the podcast and in 32 Thoughts. We'll talk about Mark Chipman's interview earlier today with Sarah and some of the comments and what wasn't said in the interview as well. So join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Like I said, Sarah Orleski and Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster, going to be our guests. Sunday afternoon, one final post-game show for the Winnipeg Jets season, game number 82, sometime around 3:30 in the afternoon after the Jets and the Kraken. We'll be back here to put a bow on what has been a disappointing season, but an entertaining season from our perspective and all the fun we've been having with our friends over the past 82 games. And then Monday night, after the locker room cleanout day, after garbage bag day, a special edition of the program right around 8 p.m. Join us back here on our YouTube channel for more Jets analysis and discussions. Until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., the man in the top right is Dave Minuk. The man in the bottom middle is Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.